welcome back to the Your Health University podcast. And we're here with another episode. We're excited you're here, excited you're listening, whether you're in the car, whether you're at your home, whether you're at your desk, wherever you might be, in the headphones. Yeah, you name it. We're excited you're here. And we got somebody great for you today that I'm excited to have back. And he's back on a regular basis. I love it. I love having conversations with him. And we have Matt Whitehead, the Chief Ancillary Officer at Your Health. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm good, Jamie. We are making a habit out of this.
Listen, I love it. It gives me a chance to hang out with you, even if it's virtual. It's worth it. So,
and it gives me a chance to think about something else.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's nice too.
That is. Yeah, that's nice. And today we're going to be talking about something you've done for a long time. And that's building a dynamic team. Teams are challenging, getting the right people together, making sure you have the right people on the right seat on the bus, as the old saying goes from Jack Welch. You know, I mean, there's so many dynamics to it, you know, per the, you know, title today. But there's so many different things about building a team. And you know, I don't know, Matt, did you play Little League?
Oh yeah. I played 300 days of baseball a year until I was like 15 or 16.
This is the South, so baseball is way bigger down here. There's nothing like being on a good team where everybody's having fun. It's competitive.
Been on good and been on bad.
Yeah, there's nothing like being on a good team, and I really think that, you know, being on a good team, you know, even for work, is such an enjoyable thing. But man, when you're on a bad team, there's nothing like that as well. Nobody wants to be on a bad team.
Obviously, yeah, that is life and work are hard enough without adding unnecessary obstacles in your way.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but part of that, especially in leadership, and is building that team, is getting the most out of the, you know.
Quite frankly, that is leadership.
Yeah, that is. I mean,
build a good team and let them go. Stay out of their way.
Yeah.
Hire people smarter than you are in areas that you lack in and go.
Yeah.
Give them the freedom to do their job.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times though, Matt, I think ego gets in the way. You know, a lot of people's ego, they want to be the smartest person in the room. They want, you know.
No, that's too much pressure, man.
Exactly.
you don't want to be the expert of everything. No, that's. No. That's entirely too much.
Yeah, is way too much.
And ego is going, we're probably going to talk about ego a good bit in this conversation.
Yeah.
I'd imagine.
Absolutely. So Matt, you've led teams across multiple disciplines, you know, through hospice, through assisted living and nursing homes, you name it, and other places we're not even touching on. But what's the most surprising thing you've learned about what truly motivates people to do great work?
Yeah. Well, obviously my first answer I'm going to say, but it's not going to be what you think it is. The first one is clearly autonomy. And I don't necessarily mean people can work on whatever they want to work on. I more mean how people are working on things.
Right. Sure.
You know, not necessarily, yes, you should be telling them what to work on and what the ultimate goals are, but letting them have the autonomy to get to that goal in their own way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is, you know, very important to people.
Yeah. And what does autonomy look like? You know, is that, you know, go a little deeper into that. What is that autonomy look like to you?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, if I'm going to hire you to be on my team, it's for a very specific purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I need you to go fulfill that purpose.
Right.
And I don't really, God, we're not even 2 minutes into this and I'm about to pull a Staubism out. the Emerald Road or the Yellow Brick Road and the Emerald Palace kind of deal. Like, I need to have to worry about the Emerald Palace. I need you to pave the Yellow Brick Road for me. I'm not going to tell you how to pave it. I'm not going to tell you what kind of bricks to use. You do whatever you got to do. You just get me to that Emerald Palace.
Yeah.
And if you trust your teams and you hire the right people, that's how you can manage people. And that's when you're really at your best.
Yeah.
Because now I can go focus on other things.
Sure.
And I don't have to worry about you back here.
Yeah.
Another thing people, I actually have two other for you here. Another one is just purpose.
Mm-hmm.
People want to know why they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
That one seems pretty simple. And then one that I just want to mention, because I feel like we forget about this a lot, is people love mastery. They love being able to like improve their skills and be better through what they're working on. You know, they don't want to work on something and come out on at the end of working on it the same as when they went into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to be able to build that mastery for people and have them see that and have them understand that and open up to that and grow with that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I have never thought of that but that is a part of enjoying a job, is getting better at what you do. You know,
you have to get better at what you do. If you're just doing the same thing over and over again, you get mundane. That's how teams get into ruts.
Yeah.
Because nobody's actually getting better at anything.
Right. Yeah. And I think about that, building those 10,000 hours, you know,
getting
those reps and doing things over and over and perfecting the process. I mean, there's just so many things to that I think, you know, as part of developing a really, really good team, you know. Now, Matt, you know, we're going to take a little sidebar here. Do you prefer to hire generalists, or do you prefer, you know, somebody who's very specific to a task or a job?
I can speak on my world. In my world, I'm the generalist.
Right.
I can do a little bit of things, or I can do a lot of things pretty well. But I'm looking to hire masters.
Yeah.
I'm looking to hire people who, you know, like, for example, we'll take like PTOT and therapy. Like, I can do the paperwork and get us paid by the government and get the program set up, but I'm not a PT. Like, I don't know what they need to do every day.
Yeah.
So like, I'm going to hire somebody who's got that background. Now you are my PT expert.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to make sure you have everything you need to be successful, but ultimately I need you to be the one driving this, because you're the one who knows what your employees need, what, you know, obstacles they're going to be up against, what kind of equipment they need, stuff like that. So like, in my world, I'm the generalist.
Hmm.
So I need people around me who know the specifics of it.
Yeah. Especially in healthcare, you know, especially healthcare.
Oh yeah. Well, right? I can't be a PT and OT, pharmacist, you know, I mean, I mean, nobody can be all of those things in healthcare.
No.
So I'm the scrum master, basically, you know, right. You know, like, that's what the tech guys have to keep up with all their projects and everything. So, and then, you know, that I'm counting on people who are experts in their fields, to go and do their thing. And, you know, my job is to clear everything out of their way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they can do that.
Yeah. And that's amazing. Yeah. And that does help a team function when you're getting, sometimes it's not giving them things to do. It's getting the things out of their way so that they can.
Eliminating
excuses. I've heard you say that many times.
Yeah. Eliminating excuses is how I usually frame it to my teams.
Right. Yeah.
What can I do to help you eliminate whatever excuse you're about to give me?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So dynamic teams don't just happen by accident, though. What's something you intentionally look for or listen for when building or hiring for a new team?
Probably curiosity. Because that's going to tell me a lot about your mind frame.
Yeah.
You know, cause if you're curious about, you know, just, you know, I don't even mean curious about our business. I mean, just like curious in life.
Right.
And you know, once again, I'm taking this from like my point of view of like what I do now, but like, I need curious people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need people who think that, you know, this is the way it's done and it can never be done a different way again.
Right.
Kind of mentality.
Yeah.
So I would say definitely curiosity. And you can usually tell that by, you know, the conversation that you're having with somebody, if they're like, this dude's out of his mind, or, you know, like, okay, tell me more. Like, okay, I've never really thought about it like that. You know, tell me more about it. You know, like, I'm looking for that kind of mindset from people, because I can work with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what I can't work with is when you've been at Lexington Medical Center for 25 years doing great business, nothing against them, but when you come over here, that ain't what it's going to look like.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't need the person who's like, well, at Lexington Medical Center, this is a, you know, like, no, like, I'm, that's the last person that I'm looking for.
Right.
So I would say curiosity, definitely.
Yeah. So even people, maybe they don't have the greatest experience, but.
Oh, that's fine. Hell, I don't have most of the jobs I've done. I haven't had the experience in, but I've been willing to go and learn it and do it.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm looking for that, you know, because that's what I did. Hey, go run a nursing home.
Right.
They never done that before. I guess I will figure it out.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and with curiosity comes some bumps and bruises and trial, error, you know.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Right.
But so, you're trying.
Yeah.
You're at least giving it a shot.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's I'd never thought of that. You know, I know, obviously I didn't know your answers today, and you know, but that's such
hell,
a good
one.
Hell,
I don't know my answers today. Yeah. I don't know my answers today. Yeah. No, this is not rehearsed prior, I promise. But it's just so important, especially in our culture.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like
for sure.
You've got to be intellectually curious, because what you hear isn't going to be what you've always heard.
Right.
So you're going to have to go do some research.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And which is part of it is, you know, and then I think
that's part of being a grown-up.
Yeah. Those people too, they find problems really easy. They find, you know, solutions to those problems. They find all they those things. Uh-huh. And that's really, I mean,
they're thinking about it.
Yeah. And they're curious. I mean, it's just, I think it's just such a good thing to do. It's, you know, I think of that little kid that, you know, back in the day took apart the VCR, you know, and you're like, oh my gosh, you just destroyed our VCR. It was my nephew.
And now literally. He's Steve Ballmer.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's that curiosity that, you know, that a kid brings, I think, is keeping that into your career and your, as an adult, obviously, you know, I think is really, really important. So that is such a good, I love that answer.
Curiosity.
Let me ask you this. How do you balance hiring for culture fit versus culture ad? And how can too much alignment ever backfire?
Absolutely. It can backfire. Yeah. I mean, you can get groupthink real quick. I promise I'm not trying to get political, but you know, one of the things, you know, whenever we see diversity a lot, you know, we think of like color, we never think about thought.
Right.
And in healthcare, you have to have the diversity of thought.
Yeah.
And so I personally like a value add. If you can find a value add,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what you're looking for, because that's going to, you know, once again, give your team a different, different mindset, different mentality, maybe ask different questions you haven't thought of, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of different things that a good new person can come in. Now, I will caveat that and say, once again, back to our culture, we have a unique culture.
Sure.
So sometimes someone may have to be, you know, a cultural fit before they can be a cultural ad.
Right. Absolutely.
And, you know, I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that either, but normally I'm looking for somebody who's going to be adding to us.
Yeah.
And ad can, obviously that's about as open-ended of a word as you can use right there. But, you know, everybody brings their own piece to it. Everybody brings their own, you know, part that they're going to be helpful with and, you know, complete the task, get the job done, and take care of the patients.
Yeah. And going back to that person, now, granted, we don't want the know-it-all, but that person that did work at Lexington Medical Center for 25 years that comes over to your PT program that has this experience and says, hey, have we thought about doing it this way? Those are great ads.
Yes. Because you asked that in a curious way, if I could just say.
Right. Exactly.
It's all about the approach at that point, because nobody wants to be told how great your old job is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's just not what anybody wants to hear. Yeah. However, there is something we can learn.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of, you know, especially nowadays, some of these ventures we're in, like, you know, our core team of people who have been together for, you know, two decades now, we've never done it.
Yeah, sure.
So we have to have, you know, we have to be able to bring those people in who are going to sometimes look at us and be like, that's wrong. That's not correct.
Yeah.
You know, but that's not going to be hospice and nursing homes and stuff like that, you know, because obviously, thank you, ma'am. We appreciate it. But we know what we're doing in that, you know, in that. That realm.
Right. So no,
but yeah, definitely important to add.
Absolutely. Yeah. You want people to bring, You want them to bring their, some of that's in their personality, some of that's in their experience, some of that's in that curiosity that they figure things out, and those kind of, there's so many things to that. I love that. Now, let me ask you this. In your experience, and I love myths, I love finding myths and finding those things, you know. So in your experience, what's the biggest myth about building, you know, or what makes, you know, what's the biggest myth about what makes a team high performing, and how have you worked to debunk it?
You know, I mean, it's a lot of people think because you got the smartest people in the room, you're going to be successful, and that's not always the case. I don't know, Jamie, that's a great question. I guess I've just really put it into action, but I haven't really thought a whole lot about that, quite frankly. But I will tell you what I do. I have multiple teams. I have some teams that are high performing and some teams who quite frankly aren't high performing. And I don't hide that from either side. But one thing that I do for both sides here is make sure that they have the same collaboration and trust that with each other. And that the good teams, I mean, they know what they're doing good. They know what they're doing bad. And the same, the bad teams, there's something that they're doing well. You know, I don't want to just beat them up over the head with it, but both teams are full of smart, capable people. You know, that's not what it is. It's not about being smart. It's not about having all the software and technology in the world. There's a lot of other factors that can go into why your team is high performing or not.
Yeah.
And then quite frankly, what does high performing even mean? Does that mean profitable? Because I got some profitable businesses I wouldn't consider high performing.
Yeah.
And I've got some unprofitable businesses that are machines.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, making sure that your teams also understand what they're up against.
Right. Yeah. I think.
And if they are failing, make sure that they can take it from that point of view of like, hey guys, here's what we're up against. Here's why we're failing. Here's some things we could do to be better. Ultimately, we are blessed to have Scott, who gives us the freedom to, if we need to lose a little bit of money to help, he's okay with that.
Right.
So that makes my job a lot easier in those conversations.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you this about these high performing teams, you know, in your experience, does chemistry play a big role? Because I've seen teams that they have really, really good chemistry. And then you have this, you know, this other group of people that are super smart, got tons of experience, even curious, but maybe the chemistry's not there in the team and they struggle. Have you seen that before?
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's almost entirely what it comes down to. And chemistry is it's a hard thing to manufacture is the word I'm going to use.
Yeah, it's true.
So a lot of times you can feel that chemistry though, like instantly. And this is Matt speaking, but what I see is there's normally in this high performing teams like that, there's usually someone in the team who steps up.
Mm. Yeah.
And in the low performing teams, they're all just kind of doing their task and, you know, working on what they're working on and not, you know, I'm their go-to, for example, you know, or like there's not somebody in the room who stood up and been like, no, you know, here's, you know, and I mean, that's just what I see a lot of times.
Yeah.
Is that a lot of those teams, it's not me, it's them.
Right.
You know, it's somebody in there who has decided, you know, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You know, I'm going to help push this team along. Mm-hmm. So I guess that would be one thing I've definitely noticed.
Yeah. Absolutely. So when you think about moments of real team growth or breakthrough, what's a story that comes to mind and what made it possible?
You're going to laugh at this. And quite frankly, you can cut this out if you want to. I don't even care. You.
Oh, interesting.
You. Yeah, you. I figured you were going to ask something along this line because you normally have me tell a story.
Sure.
So I figured something like that. And it's you. And whenever, and I know you're not a team, but it eventually turned into a team. You remember when we were first doing hospice and we were making those videos?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it was you and a laptop and a,
Yeah, that was.
And then you remember how we like hated that?
Right. Yeah.
And we were, and we were like, why? I don't understand. This is great content. Like, this is the future. Like, why are people looking at this this way?
Right.
Why aren't you looking at this like, oh my God, you know, people are seeing us, our names out there. It's funny, cute videos on the internet. Like, this is what people are looking for. Mm-hmm. And we caught a lot of heat for that, if you remember.
Yeah. Right.
A lot of heat. You remember the Halloween one?
Yeah, I do.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We caught a lot of heat for that. And do you know about 3 or 4 years later what we were doing? Yes, you do, because you were leading the team.
Yeah.
We had a whole team of people doing that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes, and I got to be honest, yeah. I have never been more proud to take heat in my entire life because I knew back in what, I mean, seriously, what year was that? 2017
probably. Yeah. Probably 27, probably maybe even late 2016. Yeah.
I knew then they were wrong. Mm. And I just really wanted to keep pushing that. And you never gave up on that. And you gave me the courage to never give up on that. And it was just a really, I thought it was where the internet and where advertising was going.
Yeah, sure.
And now, you know, you were producing commercials and, you know, you have your own business now doing this. And, you know, I mean, that's just, you know, that's the only story that could pop into my head, us talking about this kind of stuff right now.
Yeah, that was definitely fun. And, you know, and I think one of the things, Matt, you allow for mistakes and you allow for, you know, swings and misses and, you know, and then, you know, you have those home runs and then, you know, and so, yeah, I think that's part of that, you know, and I think that's part of a good team, that because you're not going to win every game, you're not going to win every, you know, series,
nor is anything going to be perfect,
right?
You
exactly.
know what I'm saying? Like, and you're never not going to make mistakes. So, yeah. Like, I like to just adjust my, my wife says I calibrate my expectations of people, that's how she describes it,
yeah.
And like, one of my calibrations is just like, all right, we're probably going to screw this up, but we'll just mow through it. We'll figure it out. Right. You know, we'll just keep going as we go. Kind of, you know, I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And I think all my teams can feel that. And, you know, I think that helps with the culture and the synergy and, you know, them, you know, feeling like it's okay to take a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how we disrupt.
Yeah.
Is we take chances. Sometimes chances work. Sometimes they don't, but
exactly.
We're here to disrupt.
Yeah. And it can be a little messy that way. But messes are meant to be cleaned up.
Oh, it usually is.
So
yeah. Messes are fine too. It usually is a mess. I mean, just, you know, completely, you mean, you know me, completely dead honest with you. I mean, yeah, a lot of times it is a mess.
Yeah.
And that's because we're just trying to do what we can, and we're trying to do it as quickly and efficiently as we possibly can. And, you know, great is the enemy of good, and very few things in the world are great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, I mean, I hate to be like that about it, but, you know, you just got to go get it sometimes.
Yeah. And this leads us into our next question here that I think perfectly, you know, this segues great. How do you create that environment, Matt? Where do people feel safe enough to challenge you and each other and being, you know, without losing trust, obviously, you know, how do you create that environment?
Yeah, it's not about losing trust. Yeah. Because I mean, that's not what it's about, you know? Like it's just, I don't know, Jamie, you know, I have a hard time answering questions like this because I have to reflect on myself and I don't always do that well. And this is about to be the most unhumble thing I probably ever said, but humility,
right?
Just being okay. I mean, like Candace, you know, Candace, God bless Candace. She has got a mind that is just the opposite of mine. We do not, our minds do not work the same way. She looks at the world differently than I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell her, I'll be like, Candace, I have a series of dumb questions I'm going to ask you after she says something.
Right.
And I think just trying to almost be not self-deprecating, but just being okay with the fact that like, you can be the boss and still need help, still be wrong, still have something that, you know, like I told you earlier, I'm looking for experts. So like Candace is an expert in what mm-hmm. she does. She's got a very narrow job. It's a very important job. And that is what she was put on this earth to do.
Yeah.
That's not what I was put on this earth to do.
I don't think people want
to let her run with it kind of thing. You know, like that's just,
I don't think people want to work for a know-it-all though. I think that's part of what makes that great. No. I just don't think people want to do that. You know, they want to feel like they're bringing their piece of the puzzle. You know,
well, like my goal and your goal as a leader shouldn't be to be right.
Yeah.
It should be to have the job done.
Yeah, exactly.
And if that means that, you know, I forget what movie I was watching, but it was two rivals and then they started bonding over a common person. And the person's like, I don't care if you both hate my guts as long as you're together on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that kind of thing. Like, I just don't care. I just want the job to get done.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like, and if you take that mentality to it, people are going to see that and people are going to see that you're being vulnerable with them, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people will open that right back to you.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm just okay, you know, asking dumb questions, I guess. And I'm okay letting them know that. And I think but I think that interaction is what does that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because I am open about like, hey, I don't know what you just said. But can you repeat it to me like I'm 12?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have no problem in the world saying that to someone.
Right. Yeah, that's funny. So right now I wanted to learn a different language and I wanted to learn, cool. I wanted to learn Spanish. So I actually have a private tutor. It's actually really cheap. And I got a private tutor from Spain. You know, she's living in the Philippines right now, but she's going to be back in Spain here shortly. But, you know, but it's one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, is learn this other language. Cause I am terrible at it. And
I can barely speak English.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. Yeah. Same.
Much less the second,
you know,
language.
And I'm, you know, but I get constant feedback from her, constant feedback of, nope, it's, you say it like this, you know, and getting that constant feedback is really, mm-hmm. really helping me learn. And it's cutting off things, you know, or keeping me from going down a path I shouldn't. You know, saying, you know, pronunciation and different things like that. What role does feedback play for you, Matt? You know,
I was just going to say too, it sounds like presence is also a pretty important thing as we talk about this. If you'd like to build a successful team, you should be present. I mean, that seems like it should be the first thing you said, but now that you say that, that's what,
yeah, you gotta be available. You gotta be there.
Yeah. You gotta be there.
You definitely
have feedback, you said, right?
But yeah, feedback. I think getting constant feedback and then almost having a culture of that. Because I think some people think, like, I don't know,
said this before. It can't be like a hey, I'm looking for feedback now from you. Give me feedback. It's mm-hmm. just a constant conversation. It should just be a normal flow.
Yeah.
And you should be able to walk, you know, so like the way my office is set up, I have like a conference table and, you know, mm-hmm. my team members come in, they set the conference table. My desk is over there.
Right.
And I have it set up that way. So that way they can sit there and work. Mm-hmm. And as I need to interject or help or something, I'm right there with them.
Right.
So that's constant feedback all day, every day.
Yeah.
And we don't even really think about it anymore, but you know, in the beginning, it wasn't necessarily getting feedback or when I got feedback. It was how I delivered feedback that got me in trouble.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean there.
And yes. And that's what you got to be careful with. Cause you can take a high performing, you know, high synergy loving team and turn them off real quick by how you're delivering feedback back to them.
Yeah.
Feedback is great, but if, you know, you just got to be careful with that. You know, you just got to be respectful.
Sure.
Not personal, you know, all those kind of things. But early in my career, that got me in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really did.
I think what helps with feedback too is seeking it from people, getting it, you know, from them. And I think it opens up a door to easily give it. You know, I think when they see, oh, they can take it, I should be able to take it. I think it's that give and take, and I think it's, but it's crucial, I think, to keeping things going forward and making the correct changes, making the, you know,
and that goes back to ego.
Exactly. It takes,
don't let your ego get in the way of progress.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's, that's so important because, you know, when you get on your high horse, there's nothing that will stifle a team or growth any easier than that.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just got to be careful with how you deliver it.
Yep. Let me ask you this, Matt. How do you build connection between clinicians, administrators, support staff, you know, people with very different daily jobs and realities, but the same
mission?
That's
the $1 million question.
That is the $1 million question. That's the
$1 million question. If we could figure that out, healthcare would probably be a lot better.
Yeah.
The delivery would be better and smoother and more efficient. The outcomes would be better. Yeah. I mean, right. that's the entire question. And it makes it even harder for us because we aren't in the four walls of a hospital. You know, sure. I mean, we have people spread out across three states now.
Right.
You know, so like our entire workforce is very remote.
Mm-hmm.
So we almost have to, I hate to say manufacture opportunities to cross paths, but sometimes that's, you know, that's how it goes, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, team building, you know, just trying to do anything that can, you know, create a shared experience, you know, a team building activity, a social event, you know, go to a baseball or hockey game, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. Stuff. Yeah, right. Exactly. Honestly, that's the big thing about provider conference. Yeah. Right. I mean, thank you for bringing that up, is you get all these people who are never together.
Mm-hmm.
I know one thing that we do a lot for that is we like to do a lot of shadowing both ways.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, you know, we'll go throw an administrative person in the car with a nurse practitioner. You know, like I remember back when we were first starting, that's what we made all the RVPs do. We're like, no, you're going to spend a week out there with your providers. You're going to see what they're up against every day.
Hmm.
Yeah. Because if you don't understand that, you can't do your job, you know, because I mean, they're up against everything.
Yeah.
You know, and without them, we can't, you know, we can't, there's nothing to bill.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how good I do payroll, you know, like, it, you know, so,
right.
So making sure that, you know, they have that shared experience too. And then just all making sure we just constantly highlight our mission and that it's put out together and everybody's getting that same message. Everybody can at least have something like that to connect
mm-hmm.
to.
Yeah.
Those are just, the, you know, those are a couple things that, that we do. Actually one other one. Oh my God. I don't know how I thought about this. The way people communicate is also a lot different.
Yeah.
By position. So, you know, we've had to create some like consistent communication channels, like the newsletter and, you know, the hub and things like that, you know?
Right.
So those are, you know, so those are some other things that, we've kind of had to do to bridge that gap. But Jamie, honestly, that's the question.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the one. If we can figure out, we need to go start a consulting company and we'll make a lot of money helping people fix that problem.
Absolutely. Yeah. And connection is tough, but you have to be intentional
to make it work. You do. And I keep saying manufacture, but I mean intentional. That's a better way to say that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is part of it, is manufacturing that, making room for opportunities to connect, and whether that be a phone call, whether, like you said, or a newsletter or whatever it may be, a story, you know, or something that for people to hear, you know, that really gets everybody focused back on the mission.
Some kind of something they can share.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, let me ask you this, Matt, what do you do when a strong, and we've talked about this before, what do you do when a strong individual performer just isn't a good team player, and how do you decide whether to coach them or cut them loose?
Well, I don't really consider them a strong performer if they're not a good team player, quite frankly.
Mm.
I mean, that's part of being a strong performer.
Yeah. That's good.
And honestly, if you'd asked me this question 5 years ago, I would have had a different answer. But we're in a spot now as a company where no one performer is going to make or break us.
Yeah.
And so I take solace in that.
Sure.
Because there was a point in time where one high performer could have made or broke us.
Yeah.
And we're not in those days anymore. And right. that's a really nice feather to have in your cap.
Yeah.
I don't really play that, as you know.
Sure.
I understand everybody has reasons why they have a bad day or why they may disagree with somebody, but I mean, I'm probably going to give you about a day or two to get over it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then, you know, we're probably going to have to have some intervention. And yeah, that's just not something that I'm going to let go on very long. Yeah. You can't.
Yeah.
Especially because the other people in the room know that's a high performer.
Yeah.
So they're watching how you respond to that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you always have to keep that kind of stuff.
It either shows you value teamwork or devalue it. So, and honestly, to me, there's nothing more important is the teamwork aspect of it.
I mean, you can't be a high performer if you're a bad teammate. You may have good numbers.
Sure.
But that's not all of it.
Definitely. Yeah. 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 I think, you know, and quite honestly, nobody wants to work with that person that just is, there's constant tension or constant, you know.
And that'll be the conversation that me and mm-hmm. that person would have.
Yeah, sure.
Like, do you not want to be here anymore because that's the direction your attitude is leading you? And not because I don't want you here, because the other people in this room don't want you here.
Right. Anymore. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, that's usually, you know, the conversation, at least the first conversation that we'll have, you know, after the, are you okay? Is everything okay? Because like what I'm assuming you mean by this question is, well, not even what you mean by the question, but in a way where a strong performer can have this problem is if I had a strong performer and then they just all of a sudden like fell off the map, mm-hmm. they were a good team player and like now they're not.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm going to handle that conversation differently, I guess. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially if they've built a rapport and you know, okay, something's up, something's going on, something's not right here. There's, you know, and most of the time, a lot of times you can repair that or get them back in the swing, you know, get them back in the.
And if that's what I'm seeing, I'm willing to work with that. But if I don't see that being an outcome,
mm-hmm.
I don't have the time nor the FTEs for that. I only get a certain amount of employees. I would like good ones who have a good attitude.
Exactly. So, it's invaluable. Yeah. You got to have that at the end of the day. So last question, if your team could describe your leadership in one word, what do you hope that word is? And what are you doing to earn it?
Oh God, Jamie.
I know this is a tough one.
I don't want to answer this. Ask them. I don't know. You said what I hope.
Yeah. What do you hope? Yeah. What do you hope that word is?
I would hope it would be empowered.
Mm, yeah.
Is what I would hope.
Yeah.
Now they may be listening to this right now laughing. but I mean, that's what I would hope, you know, that's at least what I'm going for. And I mean, you know, I would hope that because I'm giving them the responsibility and the authority to do what they need to do.
Sure.
You know, I'm not getting, you know, like I said, my job is to provide resources and eliminate excuses.
Yeah. And I can attest to this, Matt, you're not a micromanager. You don't have time for that.
I don't want to be.
Yeah. You know, you're definitely not that person. And honestly, people don't want to be micro. I think people want to be led. They don't want to be managed as much. They don't want that constant oversight. You know, you started talking about autonomy at the beginning, you know, having that autonomy to do your job, you know, go work.
Maybe to not necessarily get to pick your topic.
Right.
You know, I may have to be like, hey, I need you to work on this, but I'm not going to tell you how to work on this.
Exactly. Yeah.
I just need you to work on this. And I guess really, you know, I guess what I would hope they would say if empower was their word is that I just trust all their judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, if they need to make a decision, if they need to hire somebody, if they need to do something, I trust them to do it. Otherwise they wouldn't be there working with me.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Absolutely.
You know, I just, and I mean, that just, you know, I guess that, I don't know if that comes natural or I don't know how to frame that, but you know, like it just,
Yeah. That's so good.
I don't know. You'll You'll have to ask some of them that. I don't know the answer to that question. I would hope they would say empowerment.
Yeah. And I think I can, you know, being somebody that's worked for you, Matt, I can totally feel that. And that, I think that's a great word. And yeah, but you know, maybe I'll have to interview them. We'll get the final word. So Candace,
Let me
Josh
know. Yeah.
And,
let me know what they said.
Yeah. So, yeah. So you guys can message me and let me know. And so we'll bring this back up on another pod, and maybe your next podcast, okay, Matt, we'll bring it back up.
Fair enough.
Well, Matt, thanks so much for walking us through how you build dynamic teams. I think it's important. I think people need to know this information. It is something that you're constantly growing in, that's always changing a little bit, and there's always new ways and different things. But thanks for leading us through this. I think you gave us some gold in here that can be applied right away. So thanks so much thanks if I can talk now. I see I can't speak English. I don't know why I'm trying Spanish. Thanks so much for being on the podcast, Matt.
I appreciate you, brother. Thank you for having me.
You too, man. Thanks. If you want to build a dynamic team, don't just look for the smartest people. I mean, sure, we want people to be smart, but that's not the end all be all. Look for the most curious. Autonomy, purpose, and mastery aren't just leadership buzzwords. They're oxygen for your team's fire. And as Matt said so clearly, humility isn't a weakness. It's the foundation for trust, growth, and collaboration. So here's your challenge this week. Find one way to eliminate an obstacle for someone on your team. Don't tell them how to do their job. Just clear the road so they can pave their own yellow brick road to the Emerald Palace. That's how great teams are built. Not by control, but by trust. This episode was sponsored by Your Health and produced by Story Society Creative. I'm Jamie Preston. Keep building great teams. Keep leading. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.